Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steve McNamee, in Ohio. My co-host, Charlie, is in Utah in a car following a marathon. And I was going to ask you how it went, Charlie, but I got a spoiler. So I know how it went, but I'll let you answer the question anyways. How'd your marathon go today?
Well, Steve, let me spin a little yarn first.
All right.
Last weekend, I had the worst run of my life. Period.
Is that right?
Hands down, not even close. The very first run I did in training in my first half marathon after several years of doing nothing, I didn't even make it a mile and a half before I had to start walking. And
that
felt
went
terrible.
Better. Yeah.
It went worse last weekend. I was in Cancun.
Oh, well, now, Charlie, come on. There's reasons behind a poor run. You're allowed in Cancun to have a lousy run.
Well, Steve, it was, I did imbibe the night before, but by God, 7:45 a.m., I had my shorts on, my shoes on, tank top on, and I got out the door. And I thought it'd be fun to run on the beach,
which I've so cliche.
Other places, and without much issue. This beach, though, the hotel zone in Cancun, powder. Absolute fine, powdery sand. It was like running in baby powder. That combined with a hangover and 85 degrees and sunny and humid, I made it a half mile, turned around, and came right back. It took me 12 minutes and 53 seconds.
I noticed that I saw the run on Strava. I didn't know the story behind it, but seeing you were in Cancun, I just believed your heart was not in it.
So I was at a real low point, and that had me questioning some things. Of course, I think we've talked about quite a bit how this race, I'm just not in the shape I was for Toledo. It's just not the same training. But I was well rested. So it was kind of curious what would happen. But we're going to actually toss it over to some other people, a pre-recording we have, because I actually was able to record with some other people all running St. George last night. So pre-marathon. And we talk about goals and different things. And also we meet some really cool guests. So
yeah, before and after.
We're going to go over to that. Talk to you guys.
All right.
Running Buds.
So here we are in St. George, Utah. I'm here with Ken Duke, Tyler Fredsaw, former guests of the podcast, Ryan Timmy and Brian Carotti. So full table of marathoners are about to be marathoners tomorrow in beautiful St. George. Now, Tyler, Ken, maybe Tyler go first. Tell us how you got down here and what you're doing this weekend besides just the marathon.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on, Charlie. First of all, it's an honor to finally be on the Running Buds podcast. So Ken and I are part of a program called Achilles International, and Achilles is a program that pairs disabled runners and athletes with able-bodied guides to allow them to train and compete in sports and fitness, mostly running. So Ken is our chapter president of the Salt Lake chapter. Achilles International is nationwide. And we normally do group runs in Salt Lake City every week. We've done a few races together. We've done the Ragnar Relay a few times. And Ken's latest endeavor, he's our mastermind. He comes up with all these
okay,
crazy
he came
ideas.
Up with the idea, so maybe yeah. he can spill the beans at what exactly happened this weekend.
All right.
So
what happened? How did you guys get down here? What is this?
So for the last couple of years, probably the 5 years, I've had this idea of, and kind of a bucket list that I wanted to ride to St. George and run a marathon from Salt Lake City.
Ride, R-I-D-E, ride.
Ride.
Okay.
So with
like a motorcycle?
I wish. Or a car or an RV. But ride a bicycle. And so, of course, with my visual impairment, blindness, I can't ride a bicycle by myself. So started figuring out a plan with some other Achilles guides about riding tandem bike down here. And a tandem bike, hopefully people know what tandem bikes are, but it's basically a two-seater bike.
A bicycle built for two.
Yeah. And so we started working with some people in my neighborhood and some friends, and we just started to come up with a plan. So we actually wanted to do it in 2020, but the world ended in 2020 almost, right? With this pandemic.
It did.
So we started to plan out better probably than expected to do it in 2021. And so started to high level figure out this plan to ride from Salt Lake to St. George and then run the marathon. So we're planning on starting Monday and riding till Friday and then running the marathon right after. But we started thinking about that and the logistics and all the things that's going on. So as we started planning, there are some other blind individuals who I know that were interested in joining me and my captain, Ben Alvord. And so between Ben Alvord and myself, we designed the course, designed the route, used we drove down here a couple times to track the course or scout the course out. And so we decided to leave Sunday, the 26th of September, and arrive here on the 30th of September and take a day break and then run the marathon. So the other blind members that joined us, so we had six tandems that joined us, and each of the tandems who were the people riding the tandems, of course the captains could see, fortunately, and the captains were awesome, but we also had six blind people riding on back.
Incredible. And how far was it?
365 miles.
1 mile for each day of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal. Unreal. And as as a captain, Tyler, what were some of the challenges in doing this?
Well, weather for one, and terrain. I would say our third day was the hardest because it was a gradual uphill for about 50 miles or so.
Wow.
That's how it seemed anyway. And we were in a headwind. So that was the big one. Another one was drivers in Utah, as you may have noticed, don't always pay very close attention. And there were areas where the shoulder was pretty narrow and there'd be the white line on the side of the road, the rumble strip, and then like 2 feet until the end of the road. And a few times some big trucks and one particular RV towing a boat came pretty close to us. And yeah, so there were some scary moments, but we got through it.
What's it like riding? I mean, I think most of us have at least, everyone's pretty much ridden a bike at one point or another. Maybe some people have done tandem, but like the whole balance part of it, the whole, there's got to be some synchrony going on. Is that challenging with the,
yes.
Especially yes. With someone not being visually impaired, is that probably just adds to it, right?
You know, it's actually kind of different, and I can speak for myself and Ben because we've ridden a lot of miles together on a tandem, but we feel like we're synchronized fairly well, and we are able to take the for me. I think it's easier maybe for Ben because I'm not looking around a lot, figuring where we're at. When Ben says tuck, I tuck. When Ben says we're going right, we're going right. So I'm just really in sync with him.
Yeah.
And not only pedaling, but just the movements and going left and right. Now, Mr. Fretzel here, he could probably have a different story, but
yeah.
I think, but it, after a while, it has to happen naturally to sync up. So
yeah.
He has a greater story than I do about his his experiences with Gel, which was the person that he guided.
So you and your partner have quite a few years' experience in
doing this. We have about a year. For training, we put in about 1,400 miles.
Oh, okay. Tyler, how many miles in training did you and your partner put in together?
We got in a 5-mile practice ride.
Well, that probably went really smooth since you made it down here, right?
Yeah, so I would compare riding a tandem versus a normal bike to, like, driving a big truck versus a small car. The basics are the same, but there are several things that are far more difficult. Like, you really need to be in sync when you start pedaling and lifting your foot up and getting your foot in the toe basket. And then when you're stopping, taking your foot out and putting it down. Those are the most challenging parts. And you can be pretty wobbly at the beginning. So my first ride, that 5-mile practice ride with Gail, we had a few issues. We dumped the bike once, and yeah, it's a little scary starting off, to be honest, but throughout the ride we got the hang of it, and yeah, it turned out great. She did awesome.
I took my Subaru Impreza down here. I had company, and set the cruise to 85 miles per hour.
89.
That's true. We sped. And by the time I got here, I was like, I am exhausted. I can't believe I did this right before a marathon. You guys rode your bike 365 miles. Riding bike, I'm sure on both of you, it's more challenging than just riding a bike because it's tandem. How are you going to run this marathon tomorrow? And why did you have to do both? Why couldn't this just be the bike ride?
So again, for me, it was a bucket list, right? It
gotcha.
Was just something that I've never done before. I've run 58 marathons, and like, let's do something different this year, or in 2020, so we had to do 2021. And so I just always thought, I'm not getting any younger, and so I need to try this. So I've been really impressed on how triathloners, the Ironman, man, they're just incredible on what they do. So I thought, well, at least I could ride a distance that seems respectable and then run a marathon. So I don't know how I'm going to feel. I mean, right now I feel tight. My legs are tight. I'm pretty pumped up. I have no idea how it's going to feel. Never done it.
Now, Ken, tell me. I've seen the visually impaired runners at marathons in my experience, but you're the first one I've met. Tell me what it's like to run a marathon visually impaired. How did you get into it? What does it for you?
So for me, back in 1991, I was sitting around a table with a couple of friends just having dinner, and we're talking about races, and we heard for some reason that somebody just finished a marathon and 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I turned to my friend and said, oh, that's cool. How long is a marathon? You know, I had no idea. Is that 10 miles, 15 miles? And so as we started talking, and she goes, well, I don't know. Maybe we should try. Because I did some running a little bit, 5Ks, 10Ks, just nothing really seriously. But we decided to look up what a marathon is all about and found out the distance. And so I said, okay, that's a bucket list. I need to finish one marathon. So as I started to train, and this is a shout out to all the Achilles guides that helps out. I can't run without a guide.
Yeah, just to clarify, you were visually impaired at the time.
Yes.
For this first marathon.
Yes. Yep. So, just a shout out to these guys that there's no way that me personally, I could have ever run a marathon, ride a bike without their assistance. So we get together, Tyler said, we train once a week together in the Achilles International Utah chapter. And with their, some blind people like to use tethers to help the guys between the tether and them to help guide them. I've never really liked a tether. I just do the audible, left, right, careful, or they'll grab my arm.
Yeah.
And again, I just, there's no way that I can ever do that without these guys, these Achilles guides.
This may be a naive question. Are you able to run a treadmill by yourself? Is that like intermittent training?
I am able to do a treadmill. I hate it. because I had the experience that I was just running out of the road. But with treadmills, I just place my hand, one hand on the handle,
right,
and just always have to keep it there.
Yeah.
So I can't use my full motion of my arms to get that full effect. So I just have to always keep it there. And that's fine, and it works for an alternative training plan, but I try to avoid treadmills.
And I'm just thinking of my own marathon experiences and what, you know, I think of first is sort of, you know, the visual part of it. And I don't think I'd have it in me to put myself through all that pain and training without that feedback of seeing the finish line, seeing the sights, etc. So where does that drive come from? And how did you keep signing up for 57 more? I understand maybe doing the one, but 57 more times. What does it do for you?
Well, let me go back and tell you, after that first marathon, it was St. George Marathon, was my first marathon. And when I crossed that finish line, I said, there's no way, excuse me, in hell I'm going to do another marathon. You know, it's like,
I think we've all said that.
We've all said that.
I said, what am I doing? I paid for this pain? No, this is it. My bucket list is over. And for some strange reason, 6 months later, somebody talked me into running another marathon. And then I started getting marathon fever. And it just the euphoria of finishing, whether you can see the finish line or not, just that experience. As you guys know, it's unbelievable that you've accomplished 26.2 miles.
Absolutely.
And I even have even better because I'm doing it with somebody who's guided me. And it's sometimes pretty emotional that we did it together.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've paced, just you know, regular pacing. I'm not a saint like Tyler here that does all this volunteering, but I've paced marathons and helping, just like, even somebody if they PR or whatever, it's just like you feel forever bonded to that person. So I can only imagine how emotional of experience that would be.
It is, and I, you know, I've helped my guides out. We help each other out. They help me out. I help them out. If I'm faster than they are, I encourage them to go faster, or vice versa. And this day and age, I really like to run with two guides. I like that protection. I like the guards by my left side and my right side. And they do great.
I'm sure there's going to be people interested in doing this in the future. How Achilles, what is the best way to find out how to be a guide?
So you go to AchillesInternational.org and you look up the Utah chapter, and we have our contact information there.
Awesome.
And it's also open to anyone with any disability.
Yes.
Not just blindness.
Yeah, in the past we've had runners who've had cerebral palsy. We actually had a runner in the Ragnar with us. Ragnar is a whole other story. That's a great event that we had. We had 12 handicapped people running Ragnar with 13 other guides. We were the first largest Ragnar in the Ragnar history.
That's awesome.
But we have, so a member of that Ragnar team in 1 year was an amputee. And another member was one lung. And the other member was a lung cancer survivor. So yeah, it's not just for blind people.
Awesome. All right, look that up. AchillesInternational.org.
Yes.
I'm sure they always need guides, right?
Yeah. You know, this pandemic has really messed things up as far as people coming out to do things. Yeah. But in Utah, we've had some good turnouts before the pandemic. Recently, the turnouts for our workout sessions have been kind of low because there's just that fear of this pandemic.
Yeah.
gathering people together.
Okay, at the end of the day, though, we've got five guys sitting around a table all running a marathon tomorrow. Do we dare talk about goals? Do we? We've got that. Do you feel it? That anticipation, that nervousness, anxiety?
It has been a while for me. This marathon has very special meaning to me. I've been out of it for a while, Charlie, as you know. I was a college runner, cross country and track, and then ran several marathons and half marathons and had some Achilles tendon issues that were progressively getting worse over a course of about 6 years. And for a period of maybe 2 years, I could hardly run at all without pain anymore. And so finally, at the end of 2019, I found a doctor who could do a procedure to fix them called a tenotomy. He found with an ultrasound that my Achilles tendons were basically encased in scar tissue. And he was able to go in with a needle that like shot in a fluid and then vibrated in a way that it could basically rip off the scar tissue and leave the healthy tendon and then suck it all out. So at the end of 2019, I had that done on both legs, 3 weeks apart. So I spent 3 weeks per leg on crutches and in a boot, and spent all of 2020 recovering from that. What a year to be injured.
Yeah, good year to be injured, honestly.
Yeah. In ways, it was the best year to be injured because everything was canceled anyway, but also in ways, it was the worst year to be injured because, as all of you know, I'm sure, running is a great outlet for stress relief and getting through hard times in life. Spent all of 2020 recovering from that and got back into some gradual running. By the end of the year, I was up to about 20, 25 miles a week or so. And as a form of cross training to keep myself in shape, because I couldn't run quite as much anymore, I took up cross country skiing, skate skiing to be specific. And this past January, I took a fall and broke my ankle. And so I had surgery, had a plate and some screws put in, spent another 2 weeks in a boot, or 2 months, sorry, in a boot and on crutches, unable to walk. And, you know, through those hard times, there were definitely periods where I felt sorry for myself. And honestly, my experiences as a guide through Achilles really helped me get through it, because I thought of people like Ken and others like him who are going through or have gone through way worse situations than what I was in. And, you know, they're still able to thrive and do amazing things in life. So putting it into that perspective, it obviously didn't make things better, but it helped make things seem less bad for me. And so this marathon would mean so much to me to run it alongside Ken, because he's been a constant inspiration to me. And it would be an honor to make my return to the marathon scene running with Ken.
Damn, dude, we should have had you go last. Jeez. Oh, wow, that is, that hit me, man. Wow, yeah, I lost track of your injuries. I was so embarrassing. I was like, so how's the Achilles doing? And you're like, dude, I broke my ankle. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and before this, I've never been an accident-prone person. And honestly, of all the things I do, cross-country skiing is one of the least dangerous. I mean, I freaking rode a tandem bike 365 miles, and I'm fine, but I just fell over on skis and broke my ankle. So it was a freak accident, but these things happen, and they can happen at any time in life. It can happen just commuting to work in the morning or running on the sidewalk of a busy road. You know, disaster can strike at any time. But you can find a way to get through it.
So we have the comeback kid, the comeback injury kid in Tyler. And then Ryan, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've got a chance for a PR tomorrow, is that right?
That is right. It is correct.
So?
I'm going to go for it. So I think I had decent training, not the best, but I think it's a good course, so I'm going to go for it. Why not? You know, PR or ER, that's the same.
Yeah, PR or ER. I think we usually say it with more confidence than that, but yeah.
That was with confidence.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ken has a catchphrase. You want to tell him, Ken? Through our whole trip, what were we yelling constantly?
So I adopted a saying from a good friend of mine. You gotta want it.
Right? Exactly.
So we'd scream that through this whole event. You gotta want it.
All right. There we go. Brian. Brian is around the table, and most tables is going to be the fastest person sitting at it with a 236 in his background. What's your goal for tomorrow?
Well, there's A, B, and C goals, right? A, B, and C goals, let's be honest. So C goal is to finish. B goal is 4 flat. That's not minutes, that's hours, just for clarity. And A goal is, I don't know, 3:30, let's say. But I have had no time to train. You know, woe is me, but I paid the money. I bought the plane ticket, whatever, 5 months ago, and had grand aspirations of running, let's say, a 240. Well, that's out the window. So whatever. I'm here. I'm gonna enjoy the red rocks and the scenery. I'm gonna, I don't know, enjoy the company. 4,000 of my closest friends running down the canyon, and yeah, we'll have fun.
And what are you doing? What, like 8 days from now? 9 days from now?
I'm going to do the never been done before St. George Boston double. I'm going to get a participation medal, let's say. I'm not going to, you know, race, obviously, either of them. But, yeah, I got a family trip planned for Columbus Day weekend out to Boston. So get our 18-month-old son on the course at mile 20 on Center Street. And my wife, of course, and Lisa and Max, in no particular order. Yeah, it'll be good.
Awesome.
Ken, assuming I don't break myself going downhill on this one.
We're going to be fine, guys. Everything's going to be fine. You just got to want it, right?
You got to want it. It's your goal.
Ken, what's your goal for tomorrow?
You didn't read it right. My goal is to, of course, the ABC, but to finish. But I would like to get under 5 hours, just because. And, you know, I'm kind of touting this is going to be my PW, my personal worst. But it's okay. I've never done this before. If I get better time than I expected, that's great. If I don't, I finished.
I'm not going for a PR. Absolutely not. I just don't have enough hay in that barn. But I think I can still put together respectable time. I think I'm going to try and break 250 myself. I hate having this recorded before anything happens. Luckily, I'm the editor, so I could just take this out. But yeah, that's I've only got a handful faster than that. And I ran much faster in the spring. Just had too many excuses I like to listen to this summer. And I'm going to do that. Got the little one at home, as do Ryan and Brian, but yeah, it's tough, right? Little kids really do kind of take a chunk out of training. And you know what the big part is? Like, it's just harder to get out of the house when they're awake, and then you're so tired when they're down. So that's my A goal. I guess my B goal would probably be just 5-minute increments until we get to Z, I guess. I don't know what time that would be, but that's my goal. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having us over. And again, that's AchillesInternational.org. Please check it out. You will not regret it. I haven't done it myself yet, but I can already assure you that. Would you say so, Tyler?
Yeah, it has been one of my favorite experiences of my life, for sure. I love doing it, and you know, it really doesn't feel like volunteering because these people are close friends to me now, and yeah, it's just an amazing time. I feel like I get so much out of it, and yeah, just love doing it.
All right, Ken, for on behalf of Tyler, Ryan, Brian, and myself, what was that catchphrase one more time, real loud?
You gotta want it.
All right. Okay, we have Terry Rupp here, another Achilles International runner and you're a visually impaired runner, mm-hmm. Which I have to say for podcasts, right? So yeah. It's a audio medium. You're running St. George tomorrow, the full marathon. You also rode your bike 365 miles to be here. Why do you do this?
I do it for the challenge. I do it to see how great it feels to be able to push my body to accomplish big challenges.
What number marathon is this for you?
This is my technically my third official marathon, but I've done a 50K, and I've also done a couple unofficial ultras, unofficial 100 miler and 115 miles in a 72-hour running festival.
My goodness. Do you enjoy pain? Are you a masochist? Is this what's happening?
No, I love the zen. Running is my mental health.
That's awesome. I was telling Ken earlier, like, I don't know if I have it in me to run without that feedback, the visual part of it, the scenery, and seeing the finish line is just something so huge to me. So I give you guys so much credit, and I think you're like I think I look at you guys like most people look at runners, like you're crazy. So best of luck tomorrow, Terry and all of the Achilles International people and everyone doing this. You guys are so strong. It's really inspirational. Shout out to the guides too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely to the guides.
All right, Ken, one more time. What's the saying?
Terry knows it.
What's the saying?
You gotta want it.
Running buds.
Okay, guys, we are post-marathon. Steve and I are about to rejoin back in the car. Being in the car, we had some technical difficulties, but Ryan is driving the car after running a personal best, a PR. He got it. He is not in the ER. He got his personal best. And we're going to get right into how Brian did and go forward from there. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but away we go.
Brian, he ran a very controlled 4 hours and 45 minutes. So 45 minutes off his stated goal, but he finished. And honestly, he didn't look that messed up. Like when we got to that 4 hour mark, 4:15 mark, 4.5, I was like, when we see this dude, he is going to be a mess, but he just looked fine plodding along. He looked good, in fact, and you know, he's keeping good spirits. This dude's trying to run another marathon in 9 days. Oh, the Boston Marathon. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. That'll be an update on the next episode. So Brian did that. Tyler and Ken finished in 5:21. So not quite their five, but they finished after biking 365 miles to get to St. George. They ran an entire marathon. And it was hot at 3 hours into that. So awesome, awesome job by those guys.
Crazy. Insane. It really is. I mean, to think of how stressed I think all of us get under the best of circumstances before a marathon, and then throw that into the mix and realize you have to run another 26 miles after biking all that way. I don't know. I don't see how I could do it, but I guess when with a gun to your head, sure, it can be done, and hats off.
Well, I guess if you have the makeup to be able to run while visually impaired, I don't know. There's probably no stopping anything he puts on that bucket list of his. So I'm not surprised whatsoever.
It is amazing.
but just sitting there was even, he was even more inspiring than I think could even be captured just in audio alone. So really, really cool stuff. I really hope people sign up for Achilles International because they need the help, and it's such a good cause.
I mean, I love these stories of people that are faced with these difficulties that, I mean, just kind of choose to ignore them and just say, you know what, I'm still doing a marathon, or I'm still this or that. And
he wanted to get it done, and he did.
It is just, yeah, it's being so goal oriented that you ignore everything in the way of that goal and do it. So hats off. Literally my hat is off right now. My bald head is exposed to the rain.
Just lifted my hat too.
That's cool. Our I do have to throw out there real quick, Charlie, as an aside, just on this topic. One of my running mates you met when you were here, Caleb Watchering. Yes. I don't even think you know this. He ran with us. I think you did meet him when you were in town, correct?
I ran several miles with Caleb. Great guy.
Yeah, Caleb. Caleb got into a bike accident with a car.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and this is. Gosh, I'm going to say approximately. But ICU, back brace.
Really,
a difficult situation. He was signed up for a triathlon.
Yeah, and I think it was a half iron, if I remember right from our conversation. That was back in May.
It was a half iron, and from his hospital bed, he's never wavered. He was going to do the half Ironman, and he did the half Ironman today, and it completed it in just a bit over 5 hours.
What?
Yeah, that is true. And I mean, just such respect for the kid. He's a young guy, and but again, a goal that nothing is going to get in the way of. And I mean, I love my sport for that reason. There's all these people that do that. And I think at times we all doubt ourselves, but
I almost start to convince myself that I'm a tough individual with a lot of discipline and grit. Then I hear these stories, I'm like, holy cow. Holy cow, that's incredible. Shout out to Caleb for sure. Wow.
Yeah, I spent my morning complaining on a training run that others were pushing the pace too hard. So, you know. Come on, guys. Do we have to go so fast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, back to your marathon, though.
Yes, our friend Terry, who we also interviewed there, she also finished. I don't remember her time, but she finished, of course. So just really inspirational stuff. Okay, Steve. So I said I had this worst run of my life. Leading up to last day, I was really confident because I had multiple 80-mile weeks. I didn't have any of those this time. I had multiple 70-plus mile weeks. I didn't break 70 once this whole training cycle. I did speed workout every week. 1 mile warm-up, 5 at tempo, 1 mile cool-down. I didn't do any of those this time.
Yeah.
So I had a reasonable goal of 250, which I thought if I really stay focused on it, I could do it. And everyone said this was a fast course, so that gave me a little confidence. I ran a 244.
Real quick, I just gonna throw out there, you know, all that training, you know, every marathon, I would tell you if I didn't know, but every marathon pretty much writes its own story. I mean, would you agree that as you look back, they 100%. Don't all go, yeah. So, okay. So you didn't quite have the same experience building up, but then what? Now,
I ran a 244.03. Okay.
Unbelievable.
You know me, Steve, and I think the listeners know I've got a lot of really crappy outcomes in races, and I am definitely not one of those guys that oversells or undersells what the goal is. I don't know what happened out there. I went through the first half in an hour 24, you know, hoping for that just break 250, and I distinctly remember thinking I felt much better than I did at Utah Valley, which is also another downhill course marathon where I could feel sort of the beginning at the end at the half.
Yeah.
I felt pretty good at the half, and then it really started dropping the course. This is a downhill second half as well. And I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but it was just baffling to me. It was like the opposite of so many race experiences I've had, where even my PR in 2:42 in Toledo, I was just holding on as fast as I could at the end, just like slowing down with every single mile. I don't know. You ever have that doing that sad math at the end of a race, Steve? Of
yes.
Okay, well, if I can just hold this pace, I will get this number. And then you keep adding one to it as you.
Oh, yeah.
I was subtracting.
Wow. I've never done that.
In a race. So I don't know if it's a testament of rest or it's a testament of just the course itself, or maybe just the stars align for me. Some days are diamonds, some days are rocks, and I got a diamond today, but just baffled looking at my watch at what was happening. And it was hurting, but it was a controlled hurt that I was able to carry through to the finish. So crushed my goal and can't even believe it. That's my second fastest race now. Far and away my Utah PR and second only to Glass City. So it is almost frustrating. Like, had I been able to get the same training effort, what would have happened? But who knows? Maybe it was just a stars alignment. But I promise I wasn't trying to undersell the expectation there. But
Well, funny enough, though, Charlie, what's to say if you had trained perfectly, you would have had a better result?
I don't know. And that's really frustrating, right? Like, I busted my ass so much more earlier for 2 minutes faster. Like, why? Why?
But it's only human nature. It's only human nature to really believe that you have control over like everything within your grasp. And really, we don't have as much control as we think. And this is a perfect example that sometimes, despite what your mind tells you, you're far more capable of doing something that you didn't expect. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just something that happens and it's out of your control. I mean, I firmly believe that. You just got to put yourself out there and give it a try and find out.
Well, Ryan here, driving the Subaru, pretty good, who got his PR, he and I did several runs together over a couple of weeks. And I was like, you know, Ryan, like on paper, we're doing the minimum to have potentially a good race. Like, we got our long runs in, we got some, I mentioned City Creek way more times than I should, but it's just this paved uphill, 6.5 miles uphill, 6.5 miles downhill coming back, which I think was perfect run training for this exact race. The finish was a couple thousand feet elevation lower than what we have in Salt Lake. So I was saying, you know, this may line up for us to run well, but I don't know. I am proud of myself. And honestly, we were talking about this. I'm really proud of my buddy Brian, because this dude has run 2 hours and 9 minutes faster than what he did today. And he did not give up. He kept running. There's not an ounce of ego, I think, in that when you've been, you know, front of the pack and now you're squarely in the middle, and he's still finished despite a lot of pain. And honestly, he's keeping a pretty cheery disposition. I know we're gonna. Oh, he just flipped me off. So now I don't know what. So I've got that post race babbling. I've got a ice cream shake between my legs. So I'm sorry if I'm getting a little weird on us, but it was
giddy.
A good day.
You're giddy, sir. You're very giddy.
I am giddy.
Oh, you know what? I feel like I should tell you something. I'm not going to get off track here. We'll get back to the marathon, but there's wolf spiders all over Ohio, Charlie, by the way. So
sure.
I had to throw that out there in this podcast. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to listen to the last podcast, but wolf spiders are around here too, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? We have tarantulas. I was corrected too. We have wolf spiders, but these are legit tarantulas. And it's like their busy season or whatever. So, whoever's out there, give me shit that we don't have spiders. My spiders would absolutely beat the hell out of any Ohio spider you can find, okay?
Well, I agree with that. Tarantulas,
out of 100. We got black widows out here, too. I didn't even mention those guys, all right? Hear me? Okay.
Yeah, those show up once in a while in luggage, but that's about it.
I've heard about the bananas. They can get in there, too.
Yes. But, you know, back to the race, though, the other thing about having control is who's to say we know what's best for us when it comes to training? You know, maybe we do push ourselves sometimes to overtrain. Maybe we do too many miles or too little miles. And there's, it's just funny that we just don't know the magic formula to our outcomes sometimes, even when we think we do. And you said you're proud of yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah,
I think there is a happy middle I got to find, and I'm back to the drawing board, but I had a real slump there, you know, with the dropping from Dallas, the end of 2018, didn't really have any good races in 2019, just like, I've had a lot of disappointing finishes and where that things have gone the other way, so it was pretty exciting that this happened. I am baffled myself, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, yes, what?
Last thing I'll say, I think we as runners, I think there's going to come a day, Charlie, where you forget that you're baffled and you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, you're going to do all the math in your head about all the training you did. And then you're going to realize that's kind of what I probably need to do. I mean, last year I had a similar experience where my summer was horrible. The heat was just murdering me. And then fall came and I realized all that miserable running I had was actually doing me good. But when fall came, I didn't believe it. I didn't think I would run well at all. And I've almost forgotten how much self-doubt I had going into so many races last year that turned out really good. But in fact, I say I have forgot, you know, I forgot that the moment I remembered, it was a big part of my like, geez, where'd that come from? You know, but
yeah. So looking back, dangerously close to advice. What do you say it is?
Yeah,
just stay as consistent as you can and see what happens, or what?
You know what? Just throw mileage at the problem. That's yeah.
There you go.
When all else fails, just bleep and run. Something will happen.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap this one up, but. We have a major announcement on the Running Buds podcast, don't we, Steve?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. As you can tell, Charlie and I aren't getting along.
Yeah. And I don't know if regret to inform everyone is the right word, but I solemnly inform everyone that this episode is the second to the last episode of the Running Buds podcast. We are going to have a final episode, a look back at the 60-some previous episodes. We've got a guest on this last one, really close running friend of ours, who I think we could both say probably inspired the podcast, even if not directly, indirectly. So looking forward to this next podcast and this next episode, but it's just come time to bid adieu. Some life changes happening, and it's just better to pull the plug too early than too late, in my opinion. And Steve and I have come to that conclusion. We'll talk more about all of it, but just wanted to say that the end is near for the Running Buds podcast.
Yes, it is. And we're going to go out strong.
Now I'm running pretty well, Steve. Maybe we'll keep it going. So scratch all that. just
forget what I just said.
Just kidding. Okay.
All right.
Time I want to give a plug for AchillesInternational.org. Please, please, please consider. I certainly am. And I encourage everyone else to do the same. If you want to get a hold of us, we are the Running Buds. We are on Facebook at Running Buds Podcast. We have an email, runningbudspodcast@gmail.com. For now. And God, Steve, what else? Oh, Strava at Running Buds Podcast.
Yeah.
So give us a like and a follow, even if it's only for a few weeks, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we might become a social media operation. You never know.
All right, Ryan, Charlie. You got the PR. You want to pick a song? You're on the spot. You are not prepared, I realize, yes. He passes. Well,
All right, hey, real quick.
Sure. Steve, you got one?
You know what? I kind of do. My buddy Bill Burns is in England. He's in London, England, running the London Marathon, competing in the World Championship for the age group.
Awesome.
I explained that poorly, but I guess they have some deal where you can qualify based on kicking ass, which he's been kicking ass for so long. Cool. But so I got to play a British Invasion song, or I got to do put on our list, but I love the Beatles. It's perfect. And one of their oldies is I'll Follow the Sun, and that's for my buddy Bill, who by the time this comes out, he will have finished the London Marathon in an impressive time, I'm sure.
All right, this one's to Bill Burns on the other side of the pond, where we've got a few fans. Here Comes the Sun's a different one. I'll Follow the Sun. Thank you. I'll Follow the Sun. All right, till next time, where are the Running Buds? Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Running Buds.